I want to welcome everyone to our Labor Day weekend Beis Medrash learning program. I thank Rabbi Schachter for his efforts in terms of putting all these lectures together. Wonderful opportunity to spend the secular holidays when we have time, especially during leading up to the Yom Ha'Ra'am. And the first, the title of the lecture was Elul's Apples Unchanged, in terms of the discussion of Elul. So we look at source number one. So in source number one, we have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Chaf Ches, Sif Aleph. And it basically lays out the following. It says, Mirosh Chodesh Elul Ad Achar Yom HaKippurim Hema Yimei Ratzon. Know that there's a certain auspicious time period that we're in now, from Rosh Chodesh beginning, where it already began Rosh Chodesh Elul, and goes through already, was highlighted last night with the beginning of Slichas. It ushers in a new time period in terms of our tefillos, in terms of our schedule, in terms of our orientation. And we're oriented that this is a certain particular period that will extend itself until the conclusion of Yom Kippur. The afki b'chol shana kadosh baruch hu mekabel tshuva min hashavim elav b'lev shalem. And even though the entire year, kadosh baruch hu is always open for tshuva, every day we say Shemona Esrei, we say the bracha of tshuva, we ask for tshuva, it's a bakasha, it's a request. We call makom yomim elu mufcharim yoser mizmanim v'tshuva liyosam yimei rachamim yimei ratzam. Nonetheless, we know that this time period from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur is a time period that's specifically days of mercy and days where God is more readily accepting our tshuva. Ki b'Rosh Chodesh Elul ala Moshe al Har Sinai. What is the reason? Why specifically this 40-day period? So says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, as many others echo, is because this was a time period where Moshe Rabbeinu had gone on to Har Sinai a second time. And he comes down, as Nine Latorah describes, that our whole Kol Nidre, our pre-Kol Nidre service, was the Or Zerul HaTzadik taking out the Svarim from the Aron, is a recreation of Matan Torah, a recreation of when the Jewish people accepted the Torah again and received the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had essentially told them, Vayom HaShem Salachti Kidvarecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had totally forgiven them from their prior sins. Umin Oz Huktishu Yomim Ha'elu Meiratzom V'Yom Asir B'Tishu V'Yom HaKippurim. Specifically that period of time, the time when Klal Yisrael did tshuva and kapara was granted for the sin of the Egel Azav, the sin of the golden calf, that set in motion that this time period would always be a special time period, an auspicious moment for us to do tshuva. So then the Kitzur a little later on says the following. He quotes Adonai Rabbi Yitzchak Luria Zechrono Livracha Kosav. So he quoted a pasuk. What pasuk did he quote? There are many allusions that we find in the verse and burns of Sukkim in terms of their connection to specifically in terms of Elul. So the pasuk that he quotes is the following. The pasuk is dealing where it talks about the individual Vashel lo tzadav Elokim inol yado v'samti l'cha makom ashe yonos shama. What's that referring to? So it happens to be that if you look at the words on the part of the pasuk where it says inal yado v'samti l'cha makom, the letters form, the first letters of those words form the word Elul. But what's the significance specifically with regards to that pasuk? Because that pasuk is talking about the person v'ashel lo tzidah. It's coming in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah is talking about the act of murder. But we know that there can sometimes be the person who doesn't kill purposely, doesn't kill with intent. V'ashel lo tzidah. This is the person, lo tzadah, he did not lay in ambush. The Elokim inol yado. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to happen. So v'samti l'cha makom asher yenosama. So for that person who kills inadvertently, the person who kills b'shoge, we know that there's a place that they have to run to. What is that place called? It's called the Ir Miklat. It's the city of refuge. It's the city that protects this individual who had killed by mistake. And in order to protect him from the Goel Adam and from the family of the person, of the victim, so ultimately there's a place that he can run to be saved. So how interesting that Lomar ki achodesh hazeh hu eis ratzon lekabel tshuva al achata'im she'asa b'kol hashana. Says the Kitzur that this pasuk alludes to, within it, to the words of Elul. And I think what the kids of Shulchan Aruch are saying is not only do we find Elul in his words, but specifically in terms of the imagery, that we need a place to run to. We need a place to, so to speak, be saved. We need a place to find salvation. Where is that place? That place already begins with Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul provides for us a space in moments of time that allows the person to take leave of their past actions, their actions of the year, and to, like the, so to speak, others understand, many understand the whole concept of the Eir Miklat. It's to rehabilitate the person. It's to change the person. It's to create a transformation within that individual. That imagery of the Eir Miklat, so to speak, Inol Yado V'Samti L'Chom Makom, that place is the place of what Elul occupies during this time period. Furthermore, V'Gam Remez, Shegam Al Hashkago, Sarach Lasos Tshuva V'Chodesh Zeh. And also, it also tells us and addresses the fact that we use the imagery of the Eir Miklat. As we mentioned, the Eir Miklat is for the murder that happened, that occurred inadvertently. It was B'Shogeg. It wasn't purpose. The person didn't lay in ambush. It was not an attack that was planned. And likewise, when we talk about inadvertent actions, we also know that we're also held accountable to do tshuva, not only for those chata'im, those sins that we do b'mezit, not only those things that we do with purpose, with intent, but even those things, those items, those transgressions that we do inadvertently, we're also held accountable to try and do tshuva and to repent from those as well. And then the second part of the kitzur here finds other allusions that we're going to see, I think, are very significant. He says, O Darshu Amru Rishumos, Umol Hashem Lokechas Levavchas V'Levazarecha, Rashi Tevos Elo. Quotes a pasuk that we're going to be reciting each day of Slichos. It's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, where we talk about the idea that there's the need. We always, very often, when we talk about the word Mila, we talk about that concept of circumcision. So we talk about the circumcision of the 8-day baby, male. But we know that circumcision is also that it's a word that the Torah relates, that every time there's a concept of mol, circumcision, what it basically means is that it's removing a certain barrier, that there's a certain orla. So with regards to mitzvah bris milah, there's an orla saguf. But a person, this Torah describes a person's heart also with having a certain masecha, a certain barrier, a certain mechitza, a certain division that exists in their relationship with the Ribbono Shel. And so sin implies that there is that division that exists between man and God. And so ultimately, in the process of doing tshuva, it requires this level, so to speak, to circumcise the heart. Umol Hashem es levavcha ves levav zaracha. So here also, the first letters spell out Elul. V'chein ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Perhaps that's the most famous one describing Elul. I am to my beloved is to me. That's from Shir HaShirim. Also the Rashi Tevos, V'chein ish l'reyeu matanos le'avyonim. Seemingly, a little bit out there, is that we take a pasuk from Megillas Esther, describing the idea that a person is to give gifts, ish l'reyeu matanos le'avyonim. If you take the first letter there, is also within those psukim, a person's supposed to give ish l'reyeu, a person's supposed to give gifts to his friend, matanos le'avyonim, also to give charity to the poor, to the destitute, Rashi Tevos, Elul. Rem is L'shosh Edvarim. So he says, the Kitzer, that these three things that we've mentioned, the Pasuk of Umol Hashem, the Pasuk of circumcision of the heart, and the Pasuk that deals with Ani L'dodi V'lodi Li, I am to my beloved, and the Pasuk of Ish L'Reyeu, Rem is L'shosh Edvarim. It's a Rem, it's an allusion to three things that we are going to need through the course of these Yomim Noram. Shehem Tshuva, Tfila, Utstaka. In other words, Shetuva, Tzvila, Utstaka, Shetchit, Shetzrichin, Lizdares, Behem, Bechodesh, Zeh, Umol Hashem, Remez, Lechuva. The idea of circumcising our hearts and dedicating ourselves to a relationship to Rabbanu Shalom, that's an aspect of Tshuva. Ani Ledodi, the Pasuk of I am to my beloved, Remez, Letfila, Shehirinas Dodin. It's the song and the expression of lovers in terms of the tefillah that we have, the prayers that we utter to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And ish l'reyeu matanos l'avyonim, remez l'tzedakah. So it's not only that the Kitzur brings down that we have three verses where we have allusions within the verses that the letters spell out Elul, but specifically these are verses that he says direct us to the areas of focus during this time period of Elul, that it has to be in the areas of tshuva, tefillah, and stucha. And so ultimately, and the two, the what for the kitzur does is he presents us with a vision of Elul. First and foremost, he says, Elul is to be seen in a way like an Eir Miklat. It's a place that we run to. It's a place where it's a makom of, a place of salvaging ourselves from the, so to speak, outside forces that seek to destroy us. And secondly, it directs us also, Elul also directs us to those areas that we need to focus on in terms of achieving this ultimate level of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam through tshuva and through tefillah, and through tzedaka. If you turn to the second page, not the other side of the first page, just want to touch upon something quickly, because it also describes a certain idea that I had mentioned, began to mention last night, and that is the following. That part of the whole process of Elul and leading up specifically to Rosh Hashanah is also seen in terms of making the necessary preparations as if we are a sacrifice, as if we are offering ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to offer ourselves and dedicate ourselves as a Karban LaHashem, specifically as a Karban LaHashem. So as we began yesterday talking about, say that when the Pasuk in Vayikra, this is from Alecha Kvalivim, so he talks about on the source on begins at 8, we're not going to do it entirely, we're just going to move through it. So he says, Adon ki yakiv mikem karban la'ashem min ha-behema min ha-bakara min ha-tzon. That when a person comes to bring a karban, we know that the requirement is to bring from the animal, from the herd, and from the flock. And specifically there, Rashi limits our offerings that we cannot offer. There are gimel mi'utim, there are three things that we cannot offer. Hanirva, hanevad, vanogeyav. You cannot offer from that animal that had an act of bestiality upon it, or was worked, or that it gored. It comes along the Imre Emes and says that these three are actually illusions, these three mi'utim, these three limitations within the law of the sacrifices, or also specifically, shlosha dvarim elu shayotim af ba'adam, she'mechuvana neged shlosh aveos chamuros. They are specifically oriented towards the three, so to speak, more stringent transgressions. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shefichas Damim. These three specific areas. Lahotzi HaNevad Keneged Avodah Zarah. In terms of Nevad, that it was worked, that it served. So just like serving validates the Karban, that's the allusion to serving strange gods. Lahotzi HaNirva. When we say that what's limited, you cannot use an animal that an improper moral act was conducted towards it, zeo kenega gilui arayos. That is for relating to acts of immorality. Lahotzi anogeach, and with regards to the gore, the animal that gores another animal, meaning it does a violent act towards another, zeo kenega, what's the transgression that, so to speak, represents the act of attacking another individual more than any other? It's shichas damim. It's the act, specifically the act of murder. And that what we have to do during this, so to speak, what it leads us to, is to understand that in preparing ourselves for the karban, the min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, orients us to the areas that we have to focus on. And even if we say that we're obviously these three main sins, of shvichas damim, avodah zarah, are things that we're not are really not involved in our daily activities. No one comes to Rosh Hashanah to have to deal with those, so to speak, cardinal sins. But there are elements of those sins that are present. And for Rav Gedalia Shor, when he alludes to this, he talks about the fact that kina, taiva, and kavod, the three things that jealousy corresponds to shvichas domim, when we talk about kavod, when we talk about kina, is taiva is gila rayas, and kavod is avodah zarah. Because kavod means what idea of kavod? When I'm concerned about my honor, I'm really concerned about myself. I'm not concerned about the other. I'm not concerned about the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's avodah zarah. taiva, desire. I'm running after my desires. That's the seed for Gilui Arayos. Gilui Arayos is the person who has no restraints, the person who goes after and follows after his passions. And likewise, when we talk about kina, the jealousy, that's what promotes us to do ultimately shvichas donin. It starts with the kina. Kayin first has kina for Hevel, and then ultimately lends itself to a final act and culminates through an action of murder upon his brother. And so says Rav Gedalia Shor, that specifically during this time period, we have to work on those things. And he actually cites a sefer, if you skip the page, the next page, next other side of this page, on page Tess, in the bottom paragraph, he says, Nimsa mikol hanemar sha'avodas yomim elu, huli shomer l'sake min abahema min abaka min atzom. That is the avoda, the service. We talk about what is this time period of Elul, what is this time period of the Yemei Slichas. He says it's talking about focusing on those three areas, the Behema, the Bakar, and the Tzom. Those three limitations that Rashi had that indicate for us the Shvichas Damim of Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos, which we said is the Kina Taiva uncovered. We said ultimately, he says, V'kasav b'sefer Eren Aidos, then he said Adas, he says, Min. What does that mean? The three limitations which they found in the Pasuk of Vayikra that limit what types of animals are to be used. Hu Rashi Tevos, the Min, the Mem, and the Nun are the beginning letters of Man Omar, Man Daber, Man Tzaveh. When we talk about the letters that we call out in Slichas, referring to the who uttered those words, it was uttered by the brothers. When they were caught, or they thought they were caught red-handed for the sale of the Mechira, after they, when Yosef orchestrated the events in such a way that they felt there was no way out, and they were backs against the wall, and they call out, Man Omar, what are we going to say? And what are we going to state? And what justification can we have? And they realize they're at a complete loss. He says, the Kasher Misboninim, the Gimel Dvarim Elu Bam Lidei Sheila Man Omar. Chain Let Tzadik Acham Echshalos Elu Bam Lishalanu Rak Breira Achas L'Sakin Elu and Yonim. And therefore, he says the whole idea, the concept of the days of Slichos are basically time periods where we focus on that, so to speak, Man Omar, Man Daber, the Min, the areas of life that need, so to speak, fixing and addressing to as we prepare ourselves to the Yom HaDin, for the Day of Judgment. I just want to end with a certain idea. We're going to skip a lot. If you go back to the first, for the first page on the second side, and just by words of introduction, when we talk about change, and we talk about personal transformation, which requires a lot of self-awareness and self-reflection, and the Yemei, these days, these Yemei Ratzon, it sounds easy, but sometimes a person feels that's very difficult. How do you begin? How do you start? Right? Where do you start from? If you're really going to be introspective and you're really going to analyze oneself, it can become a difficult thing. So it happens to be that I saw an idea that I think may address this level of concern that we all have during this time period. And it's based on the following. We titled the Shira, Elul Apples and Change. We know that one of the things based on the Gemara tells us that there's a concept that's called Simona Milsa. There's a concept that's called that signs bring about a certain level of Milsa. There's something substantive to certain signs. Rabbanim talk about this idea in the sources that it's not really addressing negative signs. We don't look at omens. We're not supposed to. There's a restriction, there's a prohibition in the Torah to foretell things based upon looking at certain negative things and saying that it portends to something negative, to something bad. But when it comes to things that are positive, so there we find it. And the Gemara in two different places tells us that because of this, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah we have this idea of Simana Milsa. One Gemara talks about eating things that portend, that have some positive illusion. And one it says not eating, but even just seeing it, that a person's supposed to see these things. And so our table very often is adorned on various fruits. It's become a minig, it's become a custom in Klal Yisrael for a person to have these different fruits. One of the fruits that's brought down, and actually this is the fruit that's brought down in the in source number 7. If you actually just go back one page, source number 7, the other side of the page, Torah or Chaim brings down Umakom ufimin hago kimo ba'ashkenaz chagim lecho b'tchilas asuda tapuach matuk b'dvash loma shetischalish aleinu shana tova masuka. Right? We have this. This is the, so to speak, most uniform Ashkenazic practice, even if you don't have a whole suda of peros in the beginning, but the apple dipped in honey, the basic minig, all many communities within Ashkenaz practice that minig. The question is, why specifically an apple? And there are another number of reasons that are given, but I want to focus our attention to a certain idea, and that is actually in the Gemara. If you go jump on the other side of the page to source number 12. Source number 12, Amir Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, Mai Desiv, the Pasuk says in Shai Hashirim, Tapuach Batzei Ayar, says like the Tapuach Batzei Ayar, like the apple tree, Batzei Ayar amongst the forest. Lama Nimshul Yisrael Tapuach. Why is Klal Yisrael, why are the Jewish people compared to the Tapuach? Lama Lacha, compared to the apple, Ma Tapuach Zeb Peryo Kadam Lelav, Af Yisrael Atimu Nasev Onishma. Comes along the Gemara. The Gemara says that what's very unique about the Tapuach is that it grows a little bit differently than all the other trees, all the other fruits. All the other fruits, first the blossom, first, and then the leaf, first the leaf comes, and after upon the leaf, then comes the actual fruit. But here, by the tapuach, the fruit comes first, and then comes the olav. And he says, this is Domeh, so to speak. Klal Yisrael is similar, because they said nasa before they said nishma, before they, like the leaf is normally what would come first, but they first went ahead and they went for the nasa, the act, the deed. Before listening, they already took upon the commitment for action, the commitment to go ahead for behavior before listening, exactly what was going to be requested of them. Just like this tapuach has the fruit prior to the leaf. Ask Tosfos a question in source number 13. So first of all, Hikshar Rabbeinu Tam. Shrei Anu Rom Shegidok Shari Lanos. First of all, in our times, he's writing in France, in the Middle Ages, he's saying, we see the tree of the fruit, the apple tree, it grows the regular way. So the way to deal with that is to say it's talking about the esrig, and the esrig tree also, because it stays on the tree for over a year, there are sets of leaves, and so the second set of leaves only come upon, and there is first the leaf, then they have the fruit, but then the first leaves fall out and more leaves come on, and so that second set of leaves is looked upon following the fruit. Okay, but then Tosis asks a question. Tosis says, three lines down, and he says, Ach tema shemevi kra ketapuach batzei ayar, debahai kra lo nimshul Yisrael letapuach. Ala kadosh baruch hu, kidechsev kein dodi bein abonim. So comes along Tosis, and he doesn't have an answer for this. He says, I have a question. The Gemara seemed to imply from this pasuk, this allusion to the apple, is talking about what? It's talking about Lama Nimshul Yisrael, it's talking about the Jewish people. He says, but no. In Shir HaShirim, we know sometimes God is referred to in one way, it's a description of the beloved and the lover. And the idea is that here, in this Kein Dodi Bein Abanim, is talking about the Rabbanu Shalom. So the first part of that pasuk, Ketapuach Batzei Ayar, is not talking about Klal Yisrael, so how can you say that the Jewish people compared to the apple when that verse is talking about the Rabbanu Shalom? That verse is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he doesn't give an answer. So I want to share with you an answer cited in the Divrei Yov. San Mereva comes up with the following answer. And he says the following. He first quotes, it's on the bottom, and we'll conclude with this. So he first quotes, the first few lines, he quotes the specifically Gemara, four lines down, he says the following, three words before the other line. He says, V'kavanas devrayim, v'zelitein tam mehechon nimshach lehem Yisrael midazu, sh'akadosh baruch hu shomea tfilasan. Where does it come from, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our prayers, u'mimalei mevukasham, and fulfill our requests, oterem yikro, before we even ask. Where does it come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to the Jewish people so fast that almost in anticipating our actions and our requests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already answered them? So, l'zeh amash, shazeh nimshak lehem, l'fi shenimshul etapuach, shepiyokadam lelav, In other words, so to speak, what the Sanhedrin Rebbe is saying is that Klal Yisrael has a certain strength, that we go ahead and we act in a certain way, and that causes the Rabbono Shalom to act in a certain way. King Dodi Ben Abonim, Koyal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is the question that Tosfos is bothered by the question, because for Tosfos, both phrases within the verse, Kitapur Patseya and King Dodi Ben Abonim, and it says that King Ben Abonim is all, King Dodi Ben Abonim is all referring to, it's supposed to be all about the Klal Yisrael. So he's bothered, one second, that doesn't make sense, because Kein Dodi Ben Abonim is talking about the Rabbanu Shalom. So the first part of the Pasuk can't be talking about the Jewish people. But the Sanhedrin Rebbe says, yes, it is talking about the Jewish people. The first part is talking about that, just like, to, so to speak, the fruit precede the leaves and comes first, that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is willing to reach out to the Rabbanu Shalom, is willing to call out to the Rabbanu Shalom. They're willing to dedicate themselves to Rabbanu Shalom without hearing the details. Naseh before Nishma. And in response, Kein Dodi. In response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along. Mida Keneged Mida. We're willing to take a step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to take a step towards us. And that's ultimately how he understands. If you go on to the second page, second column here, that's what he says. Va'afshir da'ainu taimul min hagon shal Yisrael lechel tapuchim b'leil Rosh Hashanah l'siman ha'tovah. Maybe that's why we eat the apple on Rosh Hashanah night. Kidei la'ora oso haschus. It's to awaken that merit shekdimu Yisrael nasa v'nishma. Shebezeh nimshalu ketapuach shepiryo kodom lev. Because we're basically awakening that merit of that quality of the Jewish people, that we're willing to even go far as saying nasa before nishma. Sheyedei kein yischayev shabariz baruch yishalim lanu b'mido kenegen mido. We are going to, so to speak, force God's hand. We are going to act in a certain way. We're going to behave in a certain way. We're going to take on certain Kabbalahs. We're going to accept upon ourselves a new beginning. And in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'amanu lishpoch siach levakech rachim v'chaninam l'fono b'yom hadin, tavol l'fono b'kashoso v'od shehi b'v'chinas machshava, and herm yikro v'anei anau, me'ata lo yeshum mesach ha'mavdil chotitz ma'akav tfilasenu. There'll be nothing that divides our tfilas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will receive our tefillos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in tandem. Hashem Tzilcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. Ayad Yiminecha. What we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow. And so this month of Elul, when it's a auspicious time to run as a city of refuge, that, to understand that, our, as the Kitzer mentioned, that our responsibility is towards working on and focus on tshuva, tefillah, tzedaka. As Rav Gedaliah Shor had mentioned, in terms of areas of focus, of min habakar min hatzon, min habehema min habakar min hatzon, the areas of kina, taiva, and kavod, all specifically orient us ourselves, that even when we feel those moments that it's difficult and challenging, we can understand that no, Klal Yisrael had that capacity to, so to speak, go to the end, nasa before nishma. And perhaps that's the reason why we start the Yom HaDin, the minute of Ashkenaz, is to take the Tapuach, because it's the Tapuach that reminds us of that, both the quality of Klal Yisrael to take its steps towards the Rabbanu Shalom, to remove the divisions, the Mesach, and the Mechitzos, and all the barriers, and in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also will respond in kind in his relationship with us as well. Have a good day.
If we know that it's a mistake, if we know that there's a first, I never had to guess that.